Welcome to Journal Club for October 20th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In September 2023, Neuralink received approval to begin human clinical trials for a neural implant called the N1. Their study, nicknamed PRIME, builds on years of animal trials conducted on pigs and monkeys. Those studies were so revolutionary and buzzworthy that even the participants, the animals themselves, became internet celebrities. Millions of people watched as Pager the monkey used his Neuralink implant to play ping pong with his mind. To many, if not most people, this is what BCI is. This is what the future of brain-computer interfaces looks like. People with brain implants controlling devices and screens, wheelchairs, and mobility aids with their minds. But in reality, these kinds of stories, which generally garner the most headlines, are only half the picture. You see, there are two types of BCI, invasive and non-invasive. Brain implants, spinal implants, and anything that involves opening up the body and inserting a device is considered invasive. There are some use cases and applications for which invasive BCIs appear to be the only option. The level of fidelity, resolution, speed of data interface, and precision of the device's actuators are only possible from within the body, for now. That being said, there are many applications and use cases that do not require that much fidelity. Applications can make do with the reduced resolution of non-invasive techniques where the devices remain outside the body. Many of these applications lie in education, where academic institutions are hoping that non-invasive BCIs can help students focus and learn more effectively. The authors are studying how the adoption of BCIs is spreading through the educational sector in China. The lens they're using to view this issue is innovation diffusion theory. This theory, developed by Everett Rogers, was articulated in his seminal work titled Diffusion of Innovations, first published in 1962. He explains the process by which new innovations spread within a social system. This is the lens that the authors are applying to BCI usage, specifically within the educational system. They largely focused on China, but they do reference products and developments from the United States, South Korea, and Canada as well. In order to propose this theory of change, the authors systematically cataloged and reviewed every way in which BCIs are used within the education sector in China. It's actually this catalog that we're interested in. The innovation diffusion part is interesting, and if you want to dive deeper into that, I'd recommend downloading the paper. But this is an audience of technologists, not social scientists, so I'm going to focus on the BCI use cases that these authors unearthed and explored. First, let's step back and review what BCI actually is. The brain consists of billions of neurons, which are the basic units responsible for all cognitive functions. Neurons communicate with each other through electrical impulses called action potentials. These impulses are generated when a neuron receives enough stimulation to trigger an electrochemical change across its membrane, causing an electrical spike. This electrical activity happens continuously throughout the brain as neurons process information, control movements, and respond to stimuli. Neurons form complex networks, sending electrical signals to each other across synapses, the small gaps between them. When groups of neurons fire together, they produce electrical patterns that can be detected on the surface of the scalp by devices like electroencephalograms, EEGs. EEGs measure the brain's electrical activity by detecting voltage fluctuations resulting from the ionic current flowing within neurons. These signals provide a window into the brain's functioning in real time, and BCIs utilize this data to interpret brain activity. External, non-invasive BCI devices are largely powered like this, by EEG, although they may also use methods such as near-infrared spectroscopy, magnetoencephalography, MEG, or fMRI. The paper describes all BCI devices as operating through a control loop. Here are the steps of the loop. 1. Signal acquisition. Brain signals are collected using the methods I just mentioned. 2. Signal pre-processing. The raw brain signals are often noisy and need to be cleaned. Pre-processing steps include filtering out unwanted artifacts like eye movements or muscle activity and enhancing relevant neural signals for further analysis. 3. Feature extraction. In this step, the system identifies specific patterns or features in the pre-processed brain signals. For example, it may focus on particular frequency bands or neural event-related potentials that correlate with the user's intentions or cognitive states. 4. Classification. The extracted features are analyzed to classify the user's intentions. Machine learning algorithms or other computational methods are often used to map brain signals to specific commands or actions. 5. Command execution. Finally, the classified intention is translated to an output, such as controlling a cursor on a screen, manipulating a robotic arm, or interacting with external devices. Some kind of feedback is provided to the user based on their actions, which helps them to refine and improve their control over time. This entire process forms a closed control loop, continuously updating the system as new brain signals are processed and actions are executed. Modern non-invasive BCI is used in more places than you might think. For example, healthcare, gaming, mental health, and workplace productivity. This paper, though, focuses on education. The authors conducted a global literature review using the Web of Science core collection, supplemented by new searches. Then they analyzed case studies and existing BCI educational products to identify trends and patterns. The data was categorized into 4 key application areas within education. 1. Attention detection and innovation. This focuses on using BCI technology to monitor and enhance students' attention levels during learning activities. By tracking brain signals, teachers or systems can provide real-time feedback or adjustments to maintain optimal engagement. 2. Emotion recognition and regulation. BCIs are used to identify students' emotional states, such as frustration or stress during learning. This allows for interventions to help manage emotions, improve focus, and enhance the learning experience. 3. Cognitive enhancement and learning optimization. BCI systems are used to assess and improve cognitive functions, such as memory and problem solving, optimizing educational outcomes. 4. Special education and rehabilitation. BCIs help students with disabilities improve learning and communication abilities. Customized interventions support both cognitive development and rehabilitation efforts. Here are some of the specific use cases they found. BrainCo's Focus Headband. This measures students' attention levels in real time, providing feedback to teachers and students to improve concentration. NeuroSky's MindWave Mobile 2. This assesses attention and relaxation, and it's used in educational settings to improve focus. IntraXon's Muse 2. This tracks brain activity related to focus and relaxation, and it's used to help students manage stress. QSoft's Brain 360. This monitors brain activity related to cognitive states like stress and anxiety, aiding mental health assessments. And HNNK's Brain Computer AI Development Platform. This is an educational toolkit for developing BCI applications, and it's used in science popularization and research. So, what can we take away from all this? Namely, that BCI technology in education is still in its early stages of what the authors would call diffusion. It has shown promise in enhancing attention, emotion, regulation, and cognitive performance, but its implementation remains limited to experimental settings and small-scale trials. The gap between potential and widespread integration is due to factors like high complexity, cost, and the need for interdisciplinary expertise. But as development platforms, they're ready. They're ready to be built on top of, and they're ready to be integrated with. If you'd like to read more about diffusion theory or see photos of the BCI devices in action, I'd encourage you to download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.